Thank you, Doug, and thank you, Bill, and thank you to all who have participated in the service this morning. It's a real privilege for me to be here. Congratulations on the completion of this beautiful project. This is indeed a beautiful room, and I've done nothing to contribute to it until now. Just feel better if this is right over here, okay? There we go. I know a whole lot more has gone into making this possible than somebody moving a chair. And a lot of planning, a lot of work, a lot of prayer, a lot of expense, but we have been praying, and I've been praying along with you, that the Lord would continue to use Roslyn Ridge and use this new facility to further the good news of Jesus Christ and to draw people to Him and to draw you to each other. And it really is a huge privilege for me to be able to be here to share in this grand opening. And I mean that truly. It is truly a wonderful, wonderful privilege and opportunity to open God's Word with you in these initial phases of this new opening. And we trust, and it has been my prayer again, that God will bless each one of you for being here. It's great to see you here. If you are a visitor, let me extend a warm welcome to you and invite you to come back and enjoy the fellowship of these good folks and teaching from God's Word. Our series is entitled Rooted and Built Up in Him. Our message this morning is entitled Building Deep. And our scripture reading is going to include the theme verse for this entire series. So this begins two messages today, one on Wednesday, two next Sunday. Rooted and built up in Him. Theme verse is Colossians chapter 2, verse 7. If you have a Bible with you, please open it and turn to Colossians chapter 2. Our scripture reading will be the first seven verses, but again, verse 7 will be our theme verse for this week. I'm reading from the ESV, and here we find these words recorded, written by the Apostle Paul, directed by the Holy Spirit. Beginning to read at verse 1, Colossians chapter 2. For I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who have not seen me face to face, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is in Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I say this in order that no one may delude you with plausible arguments, for though I am absent in body, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the firmness of your faith in Christ. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. Here's our theme verse, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. The Lord will bless us the reading of His Word this morning. And as Bill already has and has directed us, let's just bow our heads and pray, because we rely completely on the Lord to receive a blessing this morning. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word that tells us about your love and about your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for all the truths that are contained before us this morning. Help us, Father, to understand your word. Teach us, feed us, give us what we need. We'll be careful to give you all the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Before we get to verses 6 and 7 and do a little detour this morning, I want to just share with you how significant verses 2 and 3 have been to me as I've been preparing for this service, because verses 2 and 3 have come to mean to me a beautiful prayer that I have prayed in my preparations to be here this week, and also it's become an amazing prayer of mine and a wonderfully stated purpose of mine as I travel around the countryside every Sunday speaking to different people, different congregations, wherever it might be. Look at these words. Here's what Paul writes. He says, look, I pray that their hearts may be encouraged. I hope your heart this morning will be encouraged. I hope you leave here this morning feeling better or being bettered for being here, being encouraged in some way, built up, encouraged, challenged, motivated, as Doug said. We need to be challenged, right? But encouraged in a general sense for being here today. That's my prayer for you. My prayer for this series. I pray that you would be knit together in love. We're going to talk about that later. See, it's about being, we come here to be encouraged, to be built up, and to be drawn closer to one another. But even more significant, to reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. That's my prayer for you. That's been my prayer for these visits. And that's become my adopted prayer wherever I go on Sundays. And I hope that'll be our experience together over these sessions beginning this morning. The Apostle Paul, as we come to verse 6, was addressing Christians. And he begins verse 6 with this statement, "Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him." Paul assumed his audience had all received Christ Jesus the Lord. I'm not making that assumption this morning. And I don't think anybody who stands behind this pulpit from this day forward, or any pulpit that I stand behind on any Sunday, anywhere I go, should assume that everybody sitting in front of them has received Christ Jesus the Lord. And I believe that as we begin a new phase here at Roslyn Ridge, it's not new to suggest that the gospel of Jesus Christ is put forth each and every Sunday to those who come. Oh, it may only be put forward in a 30-second presentation, or it might be 45 minutes worth. But we have a responsibility to present the good news of Jesus Christ to all who come and fill these new seats. Well, they're going to be new, apparently. Apparently these aren't the new ones, right? New ones are coming. But in this beautiful new room, so that each person comes, is presented with the wonderful truth of Christ Jesus the Lord. I'm not going to assume, as Paul did in his writing, that you've all received Christ Jesus the Lord. You want to know something? I go into a high school every day and work with young people who have never even heard or know who Christ Jesus is. There are countries around the world that are sending missionaries to Canada because Canadians need to hear about Christ Jesus the Lord. We can't assume that everybody knows who Christ Jesus the Lord is anymore. A friend shared a story with me that sort of put that all into focus. He was in a mall. I might have shared this with you before. He's walking past a kiosk where somebody's selling silver things. And a young teenager walks up to him and says, "Hey, I want a necklace, and I want a necklace with a cross on it." So he goes and he finds some silver necklaces with crosses. And as he showed this young teen these crosses, the kid responded, "No, I want one with that person on it." He was looking for a crucifix. Now, this isn't promoting crucifix, but that's not the point. The point is, he didn't know that a crucifix is a resemblance of a person named Jesus Christ who died on a cross. This kid had no idea who Jesus was or what that meant to different people. Unbelievable, huh? And so this morning, I'm not going to assume that we all know who Christ Jesus the Lord is, or that we've all received Him. It's our hope and prayer that each one here has. And if you haven't, we trust the Lord will draw you closer and closer to faith in Him. And let me begin this morning. Let me begin this history. That's not even accurate to say. Let me continue the history that has been established at Roslyn Ridge this morning by telling you that God loves you. That might be a surprise beginning for some of you. Some of you sit here this morning with a perception that God is just all about judgment, and He loves you. And He loves you so much He gave His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for your sin and for mine. And through faith, as we shared with the young people last night, without faith it's impossible to please God. Through faith, through believing that truth, that God loves you, that Jesus died for you, by believing that in a personal sense and embracing Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, you can be saved. Great theological word. You can be forgiven. You can be restored to Almighty God. You can inherit eternal life. You can get up each and every day with a hope that fills your heart, that regardless of what goes down in this world, what goes down in your world, there's, as beautiful as a building project as this has been, there's a building project starting in heaven with your name on it. And whenever the Lord decides that you've breathed your last in this earth, You can live each day with the hope that you're going home and that you'll be in the presence of the Lord forever. Is that your hope? I trust it is this morning. And if it's not, then friends, we lovingly present to you Jesus Christ, the only Savior of sinners, and the only way to come to the Father and be reunited with Him. What a wonderful thing it is to be a Christian this morning. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, the encouragement to those of us who have in fact made that commitment, who have in fact received Him, the encouragement from this passage to us is, the directive is, so walk in Him. So walk in Him. What does that mean? We're going to turn over to Ephesians chapter 5. That's really turning back to Ephesians chapter 5. A couple of pages, probably. If you have a Bible in front of you, if you're not familiar with it, just flip back a few pages. And you'll find the letter that Paul wrote to the Ephesians, and you come to chapter 5, which is a parallel passage to where we are in Colossians chapter 2. And here we find this whole theme, this concept of what it means to walk in Him, to walk in the Lord. We find it expanded upon, and I just want to read verses 1, 2, 8, 9, and 15. What does it mean to walk in Him? For those of us who have received Christ Jesus the Lord, what does it mean to walk in Him? Well, verse 5, chapter 5 begins with, therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love. As Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Verses 8 and 9. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and true and right. Verse 15. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. As those who have received Christ Jesus the Lord, we are to walk in the Lord, or live as people who seek to imitate Him. Specifically, according to what we've read in Ephesians 5, we are to walk in love, specifically, verse 2. We are to walk as children of light, verse 8. And we are to walk not as unwise, but as wise, according to verse 15. If you are a Christian this morning, or if you're somebody who is seeking God, I hope you are attracted to what we're talking about this morning, because here we are encouraged to walk in love. To walk in love. Chapter 5 begins, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love. Sometimes we want to define the Christian life. We want to define spirituality based upon how many church services we go to in a week. That's not the measuring stick. We might even want to measure spirituality based upon how much of the Word of God we can recite from memory. That's an important thing to be able to do, but that's not it. Some people like to measure spirituality by the number of Christian books they read. And they have lives full of books, which they've maybe read, or otherwise just like to impress people that they think they have. Some people like to measure spirituality based upon how many messages they listen to. And on a Sunday, they could, the beauty of the internet, they kind of just listen to people all over the world and measure spirituality. It's not it. I believe the measuring stick of the Christian character is the degree to which we love after the example of Jesus Christ. We are to walk in love. We are to imitate God and walk in love. We are to walk in love as Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. We are to imitate the Lord or walk after the example of Jesus Christ, which means to live a sacrificial life of love. If you have received Christ Jesus the Lord at some point in your life's history, let me ask you this morning, are you walking in Him specifically? Do you walk in love? Is your life defined and described by the degree to which you love? I was at a memorial service yesterday afternoon in Barrie. And it was my mom's best friend. This has been a difficult time for my mom to process the loss of her best friend. They met when they were 12. They have been best friends for 67 years. I'm 51. It's hard to get my head around having a best friend for 67 years. And they met back at a Baptist church youth group when they were 12. They went to senior public school together. They went to the school I went to. They went to Weston Collegiate. I think they were even cheerleaders together. There's a picture of my 80-year-old mom as a cheerleader yesterday, right? Rah, rah, zis, boom, bah, and all that stuff. And they really shared life. They grew as Christian girls together. They grew as Christian wives together, Christian moms together. They shared everything. For 40 years, even though they've gone in different directions, they've met for lunch for 40 years. And as my brother referred to them, and there were some at that memorial service from here yesterday, my older brother referred to them as the Golden Girls. There were four of them, and they got together all the time, shared life, discussed life, prayed for each other's kids. And they had met on a Tuesday for lunch. The Golden Girls got together for lunch. On Tuesday, on Wednesday, and they're all relatively healthy women, right? My mom's 79 going on 60 probably, you know, in terms of energy level, and we thank the Lord for that. And they're kind of all four like that. Met on Tuesday for lunch. On Wednesday, Mary Jean called mom and they were just talking about what was going on. Thursday morning, Jeff and I, my brother, were playing golf. It was kind of crazy how this happened. When Jeff got a phone call from his oldest son, who's involved with a charity that Mary Jean, mom's friend, is involved with, and word came across dad. I don't think grandma knows, but we just got word that she had a brain aneurysm and she just died. So all of a sudden, you know, the next shot never really was that significant. We got to get to mom before mom finds out from somebody else. And her friend of 67 years, who she just had, who she just talked to, gone. And yesterday, as that family met for memorial service, there were hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people. Why? Because she lived a life of love. She lived a life of love that began with her family. And they were all there. Five kids. Two adopted kids. Very much involved in the work with the deaf. And it began with her family. She was an amazing, supportive wife. A very busy husband. And together they did a lot of work and did amazing things for a lot of people. She was an amazing mother, grandmother, great-grandmother. And they were all there. All there to celebrate this life of love. And to see a girl get up, I'm just guessing, she's maybe in her 30s now, and talk about being a three-year-old kid who had been rejected, who was deaf, who learned what it meant to be loved, first in her life by Mary Jean, and to hear first from Mary Jean who Jesus Christ was and what he did for her, and to rely on that love for the rest of her life and become an adopted member of her family as a daughter. To hear her as a 30-year-old, not to hear her, to watch her sign and be interpreted for us, what that meant to her, to see Jesus Christ lived out through her. The place was packed. Why? Because she lived a life of love. What about you? What about me? Does that describe my walk? If we have received Christ Jesus the Lord, friend, our lives need to be defined by love. Notice secondly that as Christians we are to walk as children of light. Verse 8 says, at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. One author says, as people filled with light, our actions should reflect our faith. We should live above reproach so that we will reflect God's goodness to others. We know what we read in Matthew chapter 5, verses 14, 15, and 16, but let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Does your life light up the world around you? Many of you know that my dad was a Kodak employee for a long time, about 35 years. I think he told me he's been retired for 25 years. Right, he was at it for a long time, but he's 80, and you know, he's been gone from that for a long time. But my dad worked in the dark for years. You know? Yeah, he worked in the dark for a long time. And as a kid, we would come home for lunch. Well, we would inhale lunch and then run back to play baseball or whatever was going on. But it was always timed. And I don't know if it's just the way Dad's schedule was at work. But as a kid, I could never figure out, we'd be sitting around a lunch table, you know, abusing each other, my brother and I, and, you know, friends would come, and Mom's was the place to hang out and get great food, and so people would often be there around the table. We'd be abusing each other and, you know, whipping stuff around and completely out of control. And the phone would ring. Because you kind of knew who it was, you kind of sat up in your chair a little straighter, thinking you could see you maybe, but as Mom and Dad would talk, there was always this question. And I never really understood why Mom gave a weather report every day. Yeah, it's kind of sunny out, and they're calling for rain later. I never understood. What was it all about? He was in the dark. He was in the dark all day. And I never really appreciated it until as a university student, I worked at Kodak, and I know, it's a good job for a football player. I cleaned dark rooms in the dark. It's kind of like looking after the artificial turf, you know, making sure it's well watered and, you know, wink, wink, good job, kid. But it was only until I went there as a university student and went to, there was 13 buildings on this place at one time, but I went and found Dad, and he showed me where he worked, and it was this kind of spaceship computer area. He made the color that went on the film. I know young people don't know what film is anymore, right, or whatever. But it all had to happen in the dark. I worked the night shift on a factory floor by myself with machines popping on and off in the dark, and I hated it. I couldn't wait to go for lunch at 3 a.m. because there was light. And how wonderful it was to walk out of that place in the morning and see and feel the sun. It was just, you know, illuminating. I don't know how he did it, to be honest with you. It would drive me crazy. But the impact that light had, the impact that sun had after being in the dark was so huge and significant, right? And it was so appreciated. That's what our life is to be like as we interact with people in this very dark, dark world in which we live. I'm spending more and more time visiting, you know, wonderful people like Dr. Doug and Dr. Phil. I'm spending a lot of time at appointments with doctors, you know? And it's just the way it goes. I knew it would catch up to me eventually, and it has. But along with getting my knee fixed and all that stuff recently, I had a physical. We go to a new doctor now, so I had to get the ones over, get a history on me, and so, you know, every part's going to be checked out. And so I'm going from this specialist to that specialist. Nothing's wrong with me, but just want to make sure, right? It's great to be in a country where we have that option. Preventative medicine, it's a wonderful thing. And so she checked me out, and she said, Dale, you are in the sun way too much. I'm sending you to the dermatologist. So last week, okay, off to the dermatologist, along with the 16 other doctors I visited in the last little while. And she checks me out. Dale, you are in the sun way too much. And no, I don't have leprosy. I mean, you kind of might be concerned with me this stuff. She had to burn some things off. You've probably all had that. Nothing's wrong with me. My skin's fine, but it may not be if I don't be a little more careful in the sun. Dale, do you know, she said, how many phys ed old phys ed teachers I work with, how many old golfers I'm trying to help who maybe can't be helped because they've been in the sun too much and haven't been careful. You got to be careful about too much light. Guess what, folks? This dark old world can't get enough light. And it's up to you, it's up to me as Christians, as those who have received Christ Jesus the Lord, to light up this world. To light it up with His love. To light it up with His standards. To light it up with His values. We live in a valueless society. I work with young people, I work with staff, I work with people who have no basis of right and wrong. And as you sit around and discuss issues and deal with discipline issues, well, who says that's wrong? Who says, well, I say it's based on what I believe and my values, which is in this book. And as we share our values, our standards, our sense of right and wrong, don't miss the first point. Lovingly, carefully, we are letting our light shine. In a world which has become progressively darker and darker and darker. And as a result, we need to respond with more and more and more light. You need to get out there and let your light shine. And as you let your loving light shine, people will be drawn to the source of that love, the source of that light, which is the person of Jesus Christ. Generally speaking, people don't just walk into churches anymore. Generally speaking. If you are a neighbor here of Roslyn Ridge and you've dropped in to check out this wonderful group of people, this wonderful new facility, God bless you. We are so glad you're here. Keep coming. But when I meet people wherever I am on a Sunday morning and they are visitors, most of them, sometimes people say, I've just moved in, I just dropped in. What a wonderful thing that is. Most people come to me and say, I'm here because that person right there. I work with them. Or they're my neighbor. And I'm interested to see where they go to church and what it is they really believe. That's how we fill churches, folks. By getting out there and letting our light and our love shine. And as people and as we connect with people, they are drawn to our Savior. And what a wonderful thing it is to be able to invite them to a place like this where they can learn more. Interact with people of the faith. And grow in their knowledge. Maybe just even further their journey as they work towards receiving Christ as their Savior. That's, I believe, our call today. It's not to be completely isolated from the world. You see, it's about being in the world, not of it. We know all that discussion, but being in it. In Jesus' great high priestly prayer in John 17, he prayed, Father, don't take them out of the world, as he prayed for his disciples. Don't take them out of the world. I'm in the world. Don't take them out. But protect them from the evil one. That's the hard line that we walk as Christians in this world. Young people, that's a hard line for you to walk. But walk it. Walk it with the confidence of the prayers behind you as you seek to live a life that honors the Lord and as you seek to make a difference in this world. We are to walk in love. We are to walk as children of light. And thirdly, we are to walk not as unwise, but as wise. Verse 15 says, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. As we continue to read, we learn that walking or living wisely is very much connected to understanding what the will of the Lord is. And I think this is a conversation we had maybe in January when I was here last. But if you read verses 15, 16, and 17 of Ephesians chapter 5, we find these words. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise but as wise, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Be wise in this walk. And to be wise in the walk is to understand what God's will is. How do we know what God's will is? And again, I didn't go down this road with the young people last night, and we've talked about this before, but boy, they're all keen to know what God's will for their life is, right? Maybe this 51-year-old guy who's coming here to talk, maybe he'll know what school I should go to. You know, maybe some, you know, claims to have some special prophetic powers or something. Everybody's looking for somebody who has the, what school should I go to? Who should I start to date? You think I should ask her out, Dale? You think I should? You know? I don't know any of that stuff. I don't know. I don't have those answers for my own kids. Oh, I direct them. We talk about what seems to make sense. But I always come back to, look, if you want to know what God's specific will for your life is, we need to follow His general will, which is all right here. And if we follow His general will that's made very clear to us, then we will understand and hear that still small voice. We will see those steps one at a time lit up before us. And I believe He will show us and take us down the journey that He has for us. And I know it's tough when you're younger. You know, it's even tough when you're older and you have big decisions to make about maybe a change in job or whatever. Well, what does the Lord have for me? We need to pray. We need to seek it out for sure. But as we seek to walk wisely, we need to read and understand the truths, the principles of Scripture. And as we apply those to our lives, I believe He'll make those details very clear to us, and sometimes it's in crazy ways. But we find the way. And we find the purpose. And we live the life that He's given each one of us to live. And for young people, just because I didn't get a long enough crack at you last night, what is God's will, general will? Well, verse 18, look what it says. Don't get drunk with wine. Big issue. Some young folks smirking here. They're always smirking. I'm talking about sex, drugs, and rock and roll. They start smirking. They start smirking because it's issues that's right in their wheelhouse. Here it is. Don't get drunk with wine. Man, the issues that alcohol can bring into the lives of people. Wow. I was up north, and I got to finish. I remember years ago, I was up in Timmins. I was speaking up in Timmins, and the friend I was with took me to the local cemetery. And he showed me the gravesite of some you know, outstanding NHL hockey players who were from Timmins. And I don't know what it is about Timmins. I guess it's because it's cold and nice over all the time. I'm kidding. I don't some Timmins folks there. Might have something to do with there's a rink on every corner. That's what I found when I was up there, which is a wonderful thing to see. But a lot of great hockey players came from Timmins. But as he showed me the gravesite, he said, Dale, you think he was good? Should have seen his brother. Alcohol got him. Never realized the potential. And that story over and over again. I know that in my own life, people who I've interacted with. I'm just using it as an example. You see, it's a principle of Scripture. Addictions. Man, we got to be careful. That's walking wisely. And as we pay attention to those issues that are clearly revealed in Scripture, we will understand, I believe, who it is you should date. Who it is you should ask out, what school program you should go to, where you should work. And what a wonderful thing it is to be guided, as we've been promised, we'll be guided by His Word, by His Spirit, by the prayers, the interaction of the people around you. What a wonderful thing it is to be a part of God's family and His community. Our walk is to be a walk of love, a walk of light, and a walk of wisdom. We're going full circle now. I hope you're paying attention. How do we walk, then, in Him? How? I just described what it is. How? Always got to get to the how part. Most sermons fall short because they don't have the how part. And this one is sort of, because we're not going to get there until tonight, Wednesday, and next week. Because we come full circle. How do we walk and make progress in our journey to imitate the Lord? How do we live a life of love, of light, and of wisdom? Colossians 2, verse 7. Here's our theme verse, folks, by being rooted and built up in Christ. Amen to that? There it is. How do you live a life of love? My mom's friend loved Jesus Christ. And her son got up at the end and he said, I want you to go home and I want you to read the love chapter. You all had it ready at your weddings probably, and as I've told you before, it has nothing to do with weddings. 1 Corinthians 13 follows the description of the spiritual gifts, how we're supposed to live our lives and exercise our gifts out of love. It's a great chapter. It describes love. He said, I want you to go home and read that chapter, because when you read that chapter, you're going to see my mom. He's right. And it's because she was rooted and built up in Christ. The key to walking or living in the Lord is to be rooted and built up in Him. Christ needs to be the foundation of all that we are. What it really means to be rooted and built up in the Lord will be expanded in this series. This is a stay tuned announcement. As we consider how we build up tonight. Keep tracking me here. Kirk, make sure I'm keeping this straight. Built around on Wednesday. Next Sunday, built in and built forward. Where are your roots deepening? What is the foundation your life is built on? If we want to imitate the Lord and live a loving, bright, and wise life, then our roots need to be in Him. I don't know if I've told this to you before. It's kind of, you know, in-house information, but every year as my school year winds down, the last thing we do as a staff is we present the Seagull Awards. And here's the history of the Seagull Awards. Many, many moons ago, 27 years ago, 26 years ago, I was there. I experienced this. A friend of mine's teaching English. And the class is completely out of control like usual. She's a great teacher, but that's just the way it was then particularly. She had her window open, and the window faced a fairly busy road. And a car goes by and hits a seagull. Driver stopped, got out of the car. Didn't know what to do with a seagull who seemed to be sort of still alive, but not quite sure. Oh, there's a teacher teaching. Teachers can fix everything. Picks up the bird, brings over the window, hands it to the teacher, and leaves. Teacher then says, with a class that's already out of control, this is really going to help. I'll go down and give it to the vice principal. Puts in a box, class in tow. I was there. I mean, I could see this playing out. Goes into the vice principal's office, explains the situation. You know, maybe you can make a call. I'm a little busy right now. You know, whoever we need to call to maybe help this poor bird. Sure, leave it with me. Puts a little blanket over him. Well, you know, that's how you, I guess, would care for a bird. I don't know. Put a little blanket over him. He's kind of still trying to keep it together. Can't deal with it right now because there's a parent here to see me, vice principal. Parent comes in. In the middle of this difficult discussion, what happens? Bird comes alive. Bird starts flying around her office. And it was just the beginning of the crazy things that happen in our school, but in our school particularly. So what happens now? Every year ends with the presentation of the Seagull Awards. And as we see our colleagues do crazy things, make mistakes, whatever, you write it down and you submit it quietly to the right person. And at the end of the year, we have the presentation of all the Seagull Awards, all the crazy things that people have experienced over the course of the year. And it ends with the big one, which is the winner of the year. This year, we have a horticulture program, a landscaping program in our school. And just last week, the person in charge of this program stood up and said, now the winter's coming, we have a greenhouse. So any of your plants and stuff that you want sort of kept over the, you know, the winter, you bring it into me and the kids will look after it. We'll make sure it's looked after. Well, this teacher was having trouble. It's an amazing time. He was having trouble with this plant that they'd had for years in their home, and it just wasn't looking right. It was kind of smelling kind of weird. And, you know, watered it and been looking after it for, and all of a sudden just didn't seem right. Hey, you know, take up Joe and her offer. Brings in the plant. It was a plastic plant. Been in their homes for years. You know? That's the kind of thing that wins in my school, right? This is not an award you want to win. And you'd think it was all fiction, but it in fact all happened. And I just share that goofy story with you. That plant really didn't have any roots. And what it was embedded in wasn't really good soil, even if it had roots. It was foam. You see, it didn't stand a chance. If you want to stand a chance at living a completely fulfilled life that is characterized by love and light and wisdom, and that will make a huge impact in this world, friend, your roots need to be growing deep in the knowledge and the understanding of the person of Jesus Christ. That's where we're going over these next number of messages on how that happens and how we get our roots growing down and built on that wonderful foundation of Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for being with us today. We thank you for your love, your grace, your mercy. We thank you for who you are and for all that you've done for us. We pray that we would be a people who, first of all, receive Christ Jesus as our Lord, and that by faith we embrace who you are and all that you've done. We pray that we would be a people who imitate you and imitate the person of Jesus Christ and live lives of love, of light, and of wisdom. Father, we know the key to that is being rooted and built up in him. Help us to learn more about him. Help us become more like him. Draw us closer to one another and closer to you. We'll be careful to give you all the praise and the glory. Thank you so much for Roslyn Ridge Bible Chapel. Thank you for this new project that you have seen fit to bring to a conclusion in a beautiful way, in a very functional way. And Father, we just pray that this room, this entire building, will be continued to use to draw people to you and draw people to each other. Thank you for your wonderful love. We commit ourselves to you in Jesus' name. Amen. You didn't hear anything about those Seagull Awards from me, okay? Because I work beside that guy every day. Anyway, thank you for coming. You are dismissed. 6 o'clock tonight, round 2. Thanks.